Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today. Everybody, I guess, got their alarm clock all set. And for those that didn't, they'll be here at the altar service. So it'll be they'll be encouraged. But just honored to be here today here at Acts Church in New York. You know, people have a little bit of a twang to their you know, conversation. They'll say, "I axe her," okay? And that's not A-X-E or A-C-T-X, S rather. They're saying actually A-S-K, ask. But New York has a little bit on the edge. So as our sister said, he was loud. You know, some of the churches I go in outside the city and so on, and there may be some places that we have some seniors, and they say, "Wow, I heard you. I actually heard you speak." So anyway, God has, you'll have to take that up, sister. You have to take that up with the Lord, because I don't know. My wife says, "You have a built-in microphone. You don't even need one." I always get that affirmation from my family. But great to be here today. How many sense Jesus in the house today? Amen? Come on, give it up for the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor John and Kim and everybody, for letting us come. I'm so delighted. The last time I was here, I wasn't able to bring my family. They were out and about on the other side of Everett, trying to save the other side. But to my mother-in-law, Mom Kettner, 80 years young. Why don't you just stand right now, Mom? Come on, Mom. Come on. Give it up. That's it. 80 years. 80 years. That's it. That's it. Okay, my lovely wife, Darlene. Honey, will you stand? That's it. And my beautiful daughters, this is Stephanie and Christina. There we are. So pray for me. I got a female dog. Couldn't even get a male dog. So, but anyway, we are blessed to be here. My wife was actually born in Altoona. And so her family's from this area, and got to meet Pastor, wonderful Pastor. Why don't you give it up for your wonderful pastor and his wife? Amen, amen. And we met Pastor John because my father-in-law, who was one of the pastors at Everett Assembly of God, he got sick, and he went into hospice care, and it was Pastor John that you came by and you ministered. And we thank you for your kindness and compassion. Right, Mom? Isn't that true? And, you know, God has a person, you know, brings us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so we are so blessed. Do you love Jesus today? That's the main thing. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "I love Jesus." That's it. Come on, bless you, brother. God bless you. Come on, now wake up your other neighbor. Say, "I love Jesus." That's it. Say it with a New York attitude. That's it. No, a Jesus attitude. We're in love with Jesus. Amen? Well, on the back table, we have some information about NYSUM, New York School of Urban Ministry, and there are some special people that have been to NYSUM from this church. Could I see your hand? There we are. There's one, okay, and our other sister, she's out there teaching. And this is the Joshua and the Caleb. They went in the city and they came back, and they came back alive. Just put both hands up, sister. They're still attached. You know, New York. You know, the Bible says God is judge of both the quick and the dead. We say in New York City, you're either quick or you're dead. You heard the story about the preacher who went over the Triborough Bridge and coming into New York. And he had a flat tire right on the crest of the bridge. So he pulled off the side of the road, got his jack out and starting to jack up the back end. And all of a sudden, he sees the front end starting to be jacked up. So he goes around to the front, and there's one of the brothers jacking up the front of his car. And the preacher says, "Listen, this is my car." And the man says, "Listen, preacher, don't be a hog. You take the back end, I'll take the front end, no problem." Oh, isn't it great to serve Jesus? You never know what's going to happen in the city. But since God before us, who can be against us? Amen? So this is the catalog. I'm going to ask everybody to take one of these, even if you don't come to New York City, even though I'll forgive you for that. But anyway, you go take this and pray for the people that are coming
to our ministry. We have spring break. We're packed out right now. We have over 5,000 people that come through our ministry every year. We've trained over 40,000 people in hands-on urban ministry since it began over 31 years ago. Why don't you put your hands together and give God praise? Amen? 40,000. I see if you listen to the news long enough, they'll make oatmeal of your brain. They'll say, oh, it's not happening, New York City, and so on and so forth. But there is a God in heaven, the same Jesus that's here in Everett, Pennsylvania, is the same Jesus that is in New York City. Amen? The Bible says, where sin did abound, what? Grace. Say it with me. Grace did much more abound. Sister Kim has been leading us in that. We have some information, not only the booklet, but for those that may know of a young person, I was young once in my life, and we are starting at our ministry called City Reach Institute. We have people come 24/7, January through December, and we have a big summertime. 2,000 people are coming from all the way from Texas and Florida, Virginia, and so on, Pennsylvania, other places. But we're also starting a 9-month urban training program. And so, if you know of anybody that's 18 to 26, how many remember 18 to 26? That's it. I can still remember that. But if you know of young people, this is going to be a powerful, powerful tool to train up, as somebody has said already, we're training up a new generation of urban compassion guerrillas that are going to take back the city, take back what the devil has stolen. Let's believe God together. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to page 887. 887. All right, you know exactly where I'm at. I was sharing in our staff meeting recently, and I said that number, some 900, and one of our brothers says, "My pastor, my Bible doesn't go that high." Well, you got to trade your Bible in and get the real Bible here. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, Luke 5. If you turn with me quickly, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, I had text Pastor John. And we've been traveling. God has opened up doors. I'll be sharing some of those things with you. And thank you, Pastor, for your kind and quick response. Said, come, come. And you know what? This is Peter and this is John. So we got to do some major kingdom business. That's it. And Paul is here. We said, Peter, Paul, we're looking for Mary. Is there a Mary in the house? Okay. Let's look in the Word together today and ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we move forward by faith. Amen? And it came to pass, say it to your neighbor, it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And the Bible says, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, it says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Say nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and began to teach the people out of the ship. Now, when he was left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets brake. And he turned and called to their other partners to come and to help them with all the other boats. It says in verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, Master, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he was astonished at all that God did of all the fish that were caught. And the Bible tells us, It says in verse 10, and there were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the others that came along with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, Simon, fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands with me and just give God some praise now. Father, we thank you, Lord. You have brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. We thank you for this church called Acts Church. And Lord, we're praying today that the book of Acts would flow through us. That, Lord, it would be like the upper room one more time. That you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Lord, you raised up this pastor and his wife in this church for such a time as this. Lord, Everett needs you. Bedford needs you. Breezewood needs you. Altoona needs you. Pennsylvania needs you. America needs you today. It's not a Democrat we need, or a Republican we need, or an independent we need. You didn't send a politician. You sent your only son, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And Jesus, we know it's the only answer. Jesus is the answer. And so we pray today, Father, that you would open up our hearts, that we might receive the word, so that we might declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. The Bible tells us about the story. How many fishermen we got here in the house? Anybody is a fisherman? You know, you hear all those fish stories. I caught this fish. There we are. But anyway, here's Peter, and God begins to do a work in the life of Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and so on. And the word I want to leave with you today is entitled this, Launch Out, Let Go, and Let God. Say it with me. Launch out, let go, and let God. Now say it to your neighbor. Launch out, let go, and let God. Now say it to your other neighbor. Launch out, let go, and let God. Here is Jesus. I'm going to give you three principles today. I'm watching the time because I know that there are other things happening. The Bible tells us that Jesus is there, and the Bible tells us that people press to hear the word of God. You know, if there's anything that I would say today, and that is that people are malnourished. They want to hear a word from God, not entertainment, not jokes. People think because they've got certain things that they have the power of God. And God is looking for his church to begin to share what God has upon his heart, not some sort of one-liners. And the Bible tells us three things. I want to leave. You might want to write them down, text them to yourself, and maybe you'll be able to look at it later on and ask the Lord for God to speak to your hearts. The Bible says that Jesus is there, and as he's walking by, he sees the fishermen had they're out of their boats, and the Bible says, what are they doing? Verse 2, the Bible says what? They are washing their nets. Say it with me. Washing their nets. In order to launch out, let go, and let God, first of all, the Bible tells us they were washing their nets. We sang it with as Kim was leading us. Are you washed in the blood? Number one is a washing. Say it with me, washing. In order for a fisherman to be effective, your net has to be washed. What is the net? Your life, my life, is the nets. And as you're out there fishing every day, I'm from New England, me, and I'm Portuguese, and my name is De Aruda, and now you know the rest of the story. And Portuguese people tend to be a little loud. But anyway, God will help us. And in order for a person to be effective as a fisherman, you need to have your nets clean. You need to have your nets washed. And these men were throwing their net out, and barnacles begin to build up, algae, seaweed, all sorts of things, barnacles, and it begins to now, if it's not dealt with, it will deteriorate your net. Listen, Jesus said, be in the world, but what? Not of the world. And what did Peter say as he begins to wash Peter's feet? And he says to the Lord, oh God, just don't wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head. Is there a people today say, God, wash me from all the mess and all the garbage and all the static. There's a lot of static that we're dealing with in our world today. When you're out there in the world, there are influences. Come on, church, there are influences. You hear people and preachers that they look good on Sunday morning, television evangelists, and you read in magazines, you read on the TV, or see on the TV, this one fell, this one's marriage is on the rocks, and so on, because it's not about charisma. It's about the character of Jesus Christ. And the enemy wants to come and mess you up, but we're going to be in his face because Jesus is with us, the hope of Almighty God, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 26, the washing of the water by the word. You want to see your life washed? Let the word of God wash your life. And today, even as the word comes, let the word of the Lord come today to wash. And all that stuff that now attaches it to that net, to your life, now begins to be dissipated by the grace of God. I remember I'm from Massachusetts, and we had some family members that would allow us to go down to Cape Cod. Anybody ever been to Cape Cod? Beautiful place. And we'd go out there at this place called Chatham, and it was a fish pier, and we'd throw out our nets, and we're there, we're all excited, we're just young people, and my wonderful sister, my oldest sister, and she said, Dad, I got a big one, I got a live one, and she's pulling, and she can't get it, Dad, I need your help, and he's pulling and pulling, and she's so excited, only to find a whole thing look like an army burlap knapsack. I mean, it must have weighed about 300 pounds. It was all wet and so on. And was like, oh, give me a break, Terry. You know what I mean? And there it is. She's throwing it out, but coming up, and she's getting all garbage. So we cleaned everything up, threw it out again. And we're all excited. Some of us are catching flounder and so on. And Dad, I got another one. I got another one. And we're pulling and pulling. It's a whole string of beer cans. It's a beautiful thing. I said, Terry, you're cleaning up the harbor. It's a beautiful thing. I have something else I believe God wants to speak through me today, and that is some of you, if you allow the influences of the world to somehow clamor for your attention, the enemy will say, you can't make it. You don't have enough education. You're not the brightest bulb in the lot. You're not the sharpest pencil. Who do you think you are? We're a child of God, and God wants to wash you from all that stuff because you're not the tail, you're the head. You're the apple of his eye. He said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God is the one that has the final say, not the world, not those influences that are in the world. Can I get an amen? I shouldn't be here today. Because when I was in the third grade, I was young once in my life. And, my school teachers and people said I have a little bit of a learning disorder. Some of my staff at NYSEM still feel that way, but I pray for them. I pray for them, and I pray for them. And so I went to Boston's Children's Hospital in Massachusetts, had to read this thing, and there was a doctor there, and I didn't know if it was Dr. Kevorkian or some other doctor. It smelled so sterile, ammonia, alcohol. I didn't know if I was going to be taken out or embalmed or what was going to happen. So I had to read the story, and the doctor was asking me questions, and then he was tapping my knee and tapped my brain and didn't find much there, so I went back to my knee. And then they said, well, why don't you step out? I talked to my family, and I'm sitting there, and there's this long, long hallway. I can just visualize it right now. I was the only one sitting there in the third grade. And so my family, my mom and dad came out, and then we went out to the car and drove home. It was sort of quiet. And I said, well, mom and dad, what'd the doctor say? And my father says, well, Peter, he says, the doctor says you just got to barely make it out of high school. He said, you got a nice little son, but you're not going to have, he's not going to be doing anything in life. Church, I'm here to tell you today, maybe somebody has put that curse on you or your family or your son or your daughter, a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. I don't care what Dr. Phil has to say. Dr. Jesus is here today. And he said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted, come to set the captive free. He's able to change and reverse the curse. In the name of Jesus. I see people today, they love God, they got to get into heaven, Pastor, but somehow they've got this like monkey on their back, and God wants to wash you and cleanse your mind, cleanse your system, do a download today. The Bible says they had to take a little bit of a Selah and not just go out and day after day, they had to come back and they had to understand that their net, their lives had to be washed. And when it's washed, you and I become effective for the cause of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? I've had people say to me all my life, when I was 17 years of age, I got my call into the ministry when I went to Nairobi, Kenya, and somebody came to me, great man of God, and I was 17 at the time. He said, Peter, you're going to do what? I said, God has called me to Kenya to do a missions trip, and he said, you're too young, you're too inexperienced. He had more reasons than H&R Block did, you know? 17 reasons, H&R Block, you should go to them, it's tax time. Well, I have news for you. This man had so many reasons, and some of them were right, and I said, I know, my brother, but God has called me. Is there a people in the house that will say, yes, I know, but God has called me. In spite of it, God has called me. When I was there, I was out in this little mud hut outside of Nairobi, Kenya. I had already enrolled in a college in Boston, Massachusetts. And when I was out there, God woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, you have enrolled as business administration for that college in Boston, Massachusetts. But guess what? I've got Holy Ghost business for you. And I just knelt in that mud hut, and I just said, okay, Lord, it's all for you. I'm all in. And now you know the rest of the story. God called me into the ministry when others wanted to just hold me back and say, you can't do this and you can't do that, church. I can do. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What was the Bible saying? The Bible says in our text, they began to wash their nets in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, and they overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. How do I get a testimony? How do I lay my life down? I've got to be washed in the blood. We still believe in the blood today? We don't hear much about the blood. Just name it, claim it, frame it. 10 reasons to be successful. How you can make it. You want to know the success story? Let your life be washed in the blood. And let the word of God just wash all that junk right out of your system. Because there is more potential in this room, Pastor, than all the United Nations put together right now in Manhattan. Washing. We were at our training base is in Astoria, Queens. It's about 5 minutes from LaGuardia Airport. And we were in this building. It's about 10,000 square feet, very small. We were landlocked. We asked other people if they would sell. They weren't interested in selling. And some of them said the price was so ridiculously high, we didn't even go there. And I received this word from one of my staff that in the summer of 1997, that we at NYSEM had turned away 300 people from coming to our school. You say, well, what is your school? Well, people come in from across America and Canada, some from Europe, and they stay at our campus. We house them, feed them, we train them, and then we send them out to various ministries throughout the greater metro area. We have about 100 partnerships with pastors, churches, leaders, soup kitchens, doing block parties, street evangelism, clown ministry, outreach, and New York City shelters. So lives of people are coming to the Lord, and we are committed only to work through the local church so that there's not just conversion, but there's also discipleship. And they go back and they take it back to their community. And so I had received this word in August that we had turned away 300 people from coming to our ministry. I was so depressed. We just couldn't take only up to about 80 people. And so I rented a little apartment about a block away. So I had that piece of paper and walking up the street, and I said, "Oh God, you have to do something, Lord. You have to do something. We're expanding as a ministry, but we're landlocked. We can't expand geographically. God, you have to do something." And so I was going up the street, and I came by this old abandoned hospital building. On our display in the back, you see a picture of it. It's called the Old Boulevard Hospital Building. I was never in it. I just was on the backside of the desert, and I just felt to lay my hand upon that building. I didn't rebuke the devil. I didn't do a Jericho march because I didn't want the walls to cave in. And so I just laid my hand on the building, and I said, "God, would you not release this building for your kingdom?" Say, did you have any money? Did you have any money? No, when you have a word from God, you don't need money. See, that's why we call ourselves Pentecostal Christians. There it is, penny. Pentecostal Christians, this is the level of our faith. So I went home, talked to my wife, we committed it to the Lord, we prayed, and about 4 months later, I dropped my daughters off to school that particular morning. It was raining, and I came back to pick up my secretary, so it's my wife, so in case you hear that I took my secretary out, you'll know who it is. And so anyway, as we were moving forward into our old building, we're going up the street, and all of a sudden my wife starts beating on me at 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, blessing me. I said, "Honey, you know, how could I have offended you already? It's 9 o'clock in the morning." But you know, men have a gift that keep on giving 24/7. No, it's for sale. I said, "What's for sale?" She said, "The hospital building, it's for sale." I said, "Oh, praise God, give me a pen." So I started writing everything down, stopped in the middle of traffic. People are behind me, they're waving their hand. I said, "Yes, I see that hand, you may put it down." And we keep her writing, and so we go into our office, fly into my office, call the number, and they said, "Yes, it's for sale. How much is it?" $4 million. Oh, hallelujah. I need to be washed from despair, depression, doubt, unbelief. Come on, church, let's just be real today. They were washing their nets. I ask you today to join with me. Listen, I've been in New York City now going on 29 years. Just getting a parking space is spiritual warfare. It is a challenge. And people say, "You can't do it." Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Where is the God factor? He said, "What? Launch out, let go, Peter, and let God." $4 million. It was like a mountain. So the Bible says in our text, as we move forward, and I'll finish up that story in a minute, I won't leave you hanging on the bridge. The Bible says that Peter is there, and Jesus is there, and Jesus gets into Peter's boat. He gets into our life. Oh, thank God, he gets into our life. We need Jesus in our boat. But you know what we do? We like to have everything so nice, so calm and peaceful and so on, and Jesus comes, and you know, if you've ever been on a boat, and somebody comes into that boat, guess what? It's going to rock and roll. And maybe that's where they got rock and roll. I don't know. But that, somehow it starts to move a little bit. But Jesus is in the boat. Amen? And he says, and the Bible says that Jesus now begins to speak to the people out of Peter's boat. You know what the devil says? How can God do anything with your life? And that boat was not Carnival Cruise. That boat was a fishing boat. It smelled of fish. It was dirty. It wasn't the cleanest thing in town. Guess what? Don't let the devil rob you of thinking that you've got to have all your ducks in a row. It's all got to be spick and span. That's why we need Jesus in our life. Let him be your mop and glow. Let him be your comet and your spick and span and your Mr. Clean. You know where I'm at today. I guess I got to do cleaning at my mother-in-law's house this afternoon. And he gets into your boat. He gets into your grill. He gets into your life. And then the Lord says to Peter, well, Peter, you know what? Now that I'm done speaking to the crowd, I want to speak to you. And what I'd like you to do is, could you launch out into the deep a little bit? See, we like everything so that we can see the future. We can see what's going to happen tomorrow. We can see the bottom of the ocean and everything is okay. And he says to you, he says to Peter, Peter, could you launch out just a little bit? You know, God is a God of love. He doesn't pound us. He doesn't hurt us. He says, could you take a few steps forward? And then he says, now, Peter, could you launch out into the deep and let down your net? Because I have a plan for your life. And Peter's like, well, Lord, he says, Master, we have toiled all night. We've tried everything. Lord, we're here at Acts Church. We've gone to this conference. We've tried this. We've tried that. I've had people come to us at NYSEM in New York City and say, Brother Peter, and good people with good intentions, no malice. And they, oh, Brother Peter, if you really want to be successful in your ministry, you need to do A, B, C, D, and you do it. And guess what? You're more tired than when you first started. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Do you know what the enemy wants you to do? Toil all day, all night. It's not by might, the Bible says. It's not by power. But what? It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Second is the word. One is washing. Lord, wash me from all the algae, all the depression, all the debris. Every time you're in the world, guess what? We're touching the world, but the world is touching us. Come on, church. The world is touching us. And Jesus, many times, he had to go away to the mountain. He had to go and pray and seek the face of God. You and I today, God says, will you allow me to wash all that stuff out of your life? And secondly is the word. Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at what? Your word. Say it with me. Your word. I will let down the net. I'll let down the guard. I will give you the keys to my heart, to my house, to my car, to my future, to my retirement. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm willing to do and cash it all in and believe you and trust you. Well, that building that we were looking at, we found out that the people that owned it were Johnson & Johnson, the Band-Aid people, and talking with them They finally, after a long period of time, they sold us the building for $3 million. And guess what? They said, we'll hold the mortgage. As they held the mortgage, and we just began to step out in faith, there's a ministry called, a college called King's College, just north of New York City. They called me and they said, you know what? We heard about your ministry and we're moving our campus to Manhattan. And guess what? We don't need all half the stuff we got. Would you like all our bunk beds, all of our dresses, all of our chairs, all of our mattresses. The Bible says, Master, we have toiled all night, but at your word, say it with me, at your word, I'm going to let go and let God do his thing. We're trying to make it. We're trying to put it all together. Let's get all our money, all our credit cards, all our geniuses, all our skill, and all those things are fine, but where is the God factor? Oh, church, may we understand that there is a God in heaven who wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us. At your word, I will let down the net. And a year later, Johnson & Johnson, the Band-Aid people, they wrote off $631,000 we owed on that mortgage. Somebody says to me, Brother Peter, do you have a business plan? Do you have your MBA? I said, no, I got my G-O-D, and I believe in the great plan, and this is my business plan. All the way from Genesis to maps, I included maps in the whole thing. Church, I'm here to tell you today, the Word, David said, the Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. What is the Lord saying? Well, let's look at Wall Street, not doing too good right now. Let's look at politics. Well, it's a little shaky right now. Let's look at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. David said, no, looking unto Jesus. He says, my help comes from the Lord. I look to the hills, but I found that my help comes from the Lord. And then the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12 of Hebrews, looking unto what? Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. Say it to your neighbor, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Master, we have toiled all night. There's some people here in this church, Pastor, you've been toiling not just all night, maybe a month, a week, a year, a decade. I'm here to tell you today, church, this is the time of breakthrough for you. No more toil. No more trying to make it happen. God says if you just launch out, let go, I'm going to do what you can't do. Hallelujah. There's one amen. We had a truck that we were using in New York City. And many people gave their lives to the Lord through that instrument, that tool, and then it died. It went to truck heaven. And we are connected with an organization called City Harvest, and that organization goes to Madison Square Garden, Jacob Javits Center, other hotels and places, and they pick up extra food, and they deliver it to various organizations, and we are one that of these organizations. And so my wife called me one day, not too long ago, and said, honey, you need to come down right away. The woman, the representative from this place called City Harvest, she's here, and there's some grants and money to be had. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That gets my juices going. What can we do to extend the kingdom of God? And so this precious lady, Janice is her name, and she said, yes, Reverend, here is the information. You can fill it out, and you can get about $18,000, praise his name. I said, well, you know, our truck had died, and we tried to resurrect it many times, but it was completely finito. It was dead, and we need to get a new truck so we could do our ministry on the streets, feeding people and so on, and so she says, yes, you could use the money for that. I said, oh, praise God. So what do you need to do? She says, fill out this form, and you need the constitution of your organization, your 501c3, all that stuff and so on. Send it in, and we'll get back to you in about 30 days. I said, okay. I took that information, went up to my office, made all the copies, got the constitution of NYSEM, got the constitution of the United States of America. So John Hancock and George Washington and James Adams and Ben Franklin and so on, put all that stuff together, put anointing oil on it, sent it out in the name of Jesus. Are you with me, church? Okay, so we sent that out, came back about 30 days later. I gathered my staff around. Okay, here's the envelope. Okay, drum roll, please. And so here it is. Here it is, the staff. God's got to do it. And so we opened the letter. Reverend, thank you so much. We received all your information and yada, 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 yada. But we gave the money to somebody else. I said, Lord, you're killing me. He says, that's the plan. Hello? That's the plan. I'm killing you, but I'm not killing what I said I would do. Just hold steady to what I've called you to do. Hold true to the word that I've given to you. Faith cometh by hearing, Paul said, and hearing by the word of God. Let me say that again. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're listening to Tom, Dick, and Harry, that influence will now dictate your destiny. But if we begin to bathe ourselves in the word of God, oh, church, the Bible says in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh what not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but what his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Oh, hallelujah. When everybody is wondering, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to our nation and our world? There is a people that is not stressed out on Prozac, is not stressed out on every type of drug or pill. What type of pills do you need? Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so I said, Lord, this is a tough situation here. You had promised. He said, just hold true to my word. So I was up at Elam Bible College, that we're having a pastor's conference a few years ago, and I was talking with some of the elders and leaders, and there was a young man that came by, and he wanted to talk to me, and I have to be honest, I sort of blew him off. I'm talking to these men of God here, these patriarchs of the faith. Then he came to me the next day, and I had to, oh, Joe, I'm so sorry, forgive me. What did you want to talk to me about? He says, well, I just want to share with you. He used to be a staff member with NYSEM. He says, I just want to share with you the awesome testimony that God gave us a food truck for our ministry. I was like, God, I don't want to hear about his testimony. I don't want to hear about the victory in his life. I don't want to hear about the miracle. God, I need a miracle. Come on, Lord, you got to take care of me. And the Lord said, just hold steady. I'm doing something here. I said, okay. So he just began to share with me. And this is what he said, you know. He said, I live in Lancaster County, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he says, I'm driving down the road. We've wanted to get a food truck. I'm driving down the road, and I pass this dealership, and the Holy Spirit said to me, turn around and go back in that dealership. There's a truck. Check it out. So he does what the Lord says, goes into the dealership. They show the truck to him, and he said, how much you want for it? $12,000. Oh, $12,000. I don't have $12,000. So he says, well, why don't you just take my card? There's no reason to take your card, sir. I don't have the money. So anyway, he relented and took the card anyway, the exchange numbers. The next day, the man calls him and says, I'll tell you what, we talked to our manager and so on. We'll sell it to you for $6,000. Oh, Jesus. So he says, well, let me pray about this. So he talks to his wife and talks to the Lord and sort of the same thing and trying to find out what's happening here and talks to some of his donors. And so they buy the truck and they fix it up a little bit. It's almost like brand new, but put some tires and brakes on it. And then they get some food given to them and they pack the thing and they go down the street right downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania, there's about 2,000 homeless people, believe it or not. And so he goes down and he sees a few here, a few there, and he's like, there's not as many people as I thought. He said, in fact, he said, the homeless people are being fed by the Mennonites and the Amish. He said, when I saw the food that these people were being fed, he said, I wanted to become homeless. He said, just don't tell my wife that. So he said, I've been praying to the Lord, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And he said, when I got on this campus for this pastor's conference, he said, the Holy Spirit said to me, gift the food truck to Nysom. Come on, church. Gift the food truck to Nysom. My wife is the food service manager. We're giving out so many hot dogs. People come, it's not the food truck. Oh, the hot dog truck is here. People are getting saved through a hot dog. A brother called me from out there in the Lancaster area, and we're able to get now hot dogs 10 cents a piece. I mean, are you kidding me? 10 cents a piece. And all this stuff is all coming in. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pounds of food are coming in. The Bible says, Master, we have toiled all night, tried to get a food truck, filled out the application, did what I was supposed to do. But guess what? God brings us to that point where we just surrender and say, Master, we've toiled all night. But I don't know about you. I don't want to toil any longer. How about you, church? The enemy will have you toil, spin your wheels. But my God, what shall supply all my what needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Nevertheless, Lord, at your what? At your word, I will let down the net. And as the Bible tells us a few verses later, guess what? Their nets begin to break. You know what God wants to do? He wants to break some of our systems. He wants to break loose in us. And guess what? It's too big for one church, for one ministry, but it's not too big for all the body of Christ. That's what it is all about. The boats all coming together, all different churches, all different groups, all different people coming together. It's too big for me. It's too big for Acts Church, but together we can make a difference. Can I get an amen in this house? Supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I was sitting in my living room one day. I'm going to close in a few moments. Preachers close three times, I've closed once. And I'm watching the Electric Church, and I'm hearing one woman preach and another woman sing, and another woman had written a book, and another one there was about five women. They were making it happen. And I was very encouraged, and wonderful, wonderful women of faith. And then I turned it on Tuesday night, same five women, Wednesday night, and then Thursday night again. Now, Thursday night, I didn't lose my salvation, but my sanctification was on the edge. And the Lord said to me, what is your problem? We have a good conversation, the Lord and I. And I said, Lord, I thank God for these women, but the message that the media is presenting to women in the church is God could only use women if you could sing, preach, write a book, do some sort of public ministry, cut a CD, cut a rug. And the Lord says, you know, that's true. That's a good idea. So what are you going to do about it? I said, Lord, I'm a guy. And by the way, it's going to stay like that. Anyway, you never had to say that in these day and age, years ago, but now you have to say it. And so the Lord says, well, what are you going to do about it? So I began to pray, and this word came to my spirit called Extreme Makeover Weekend. And so I shared it with my wife and our female staff, and we began to put some structure to this whole thing and how we could bring women in from across the U.S., train them, equip them, and send them out to battered women homeless shelters in New York City. Domestic abuse is running rampant in New York City, and so we must do something and engage the body of Christ in the process. I was preaching in Columbia, at the Capital City Club down in Columbia, South Carolina. Big on the top top dais, the big venue. There's about 250 people that were there, high professionals, doctors, lawyers, pastors, leaders, CEOs. The mayor came, gave me a key to the city. I said, can I enter the city at 1 a.m., mayor? Anyway, I poured my heart out, challenged them to make a difference. And this one woman comes to me out of all the people, and a precious sister, and she shakes my hand. She says, Peter, God has called me to come and help you. I said, well, what does that mean? She says, I have no idea. Let's begin to pray. And so I said, okay. So I went back home. And about 2 weeks later, she called me. She says, Peter, are you sitting down? I said, why? Should I? She says, yes. She says, you know, I own a high-end boutique down in the Carolinas. And she said, I just got off the phone with Vera Bradley, and they're going to donate $10,000 worth of brand new handbags for this outreach to battered women. and I just said, praise. I did a politically correct, praise the Lord. She says, don't you know who Vera Bradley is? I said, I have no idea. She says, go hang up that phone and call your wife. So I did that, went next to the next office. My wife was there, and I told her. I mean, she started the salivating, and her eyes started dying. I said, honey, what's the big deal? This is just the Vera Bradley, you know? No, you don't understand. Pushed everything aside, goes on Google, here it is. Well, when I saw the price of Vera Bradley handbags, they're $100 a piece. I said, Lord, thank you for blinding my eyes all these years. I got back on the phone, called her. She says, Peter, you really better be sitting down right now. I said, what are you talking about? She said, by the time you were talking to your wife and back and forth, she says, this company that I know, it's called French Dressing Jeans out in Montreal, Canada, is donating high-end fashion jeans. I said, French dressing? I put that on my salad. I got Italian and oil and... No, stop, she says. French dressing jeans. I said, what are you talking about? She says, these jeans have a slit up the side, has about four big buttons on the side, has all embroidery. She says, they're going to donate $75,000 worth of brand new product for this outreach. Master, we have toiled all night, but at your word, amen, can't say it with me, your word, I will let down, I will let go and let God. We're trying to do ministry. We believe in the supernatural, but we're doing it so much by wick and no oil. Oh, church, I could be here all day, which I won't be. Like the preacher, the evangelist coming through, he said, Pastor, how long do I have to preach? He says, you could be there all day, but at 12 noon, you'll be by yourself. We've toiled all night. She called me. We have this ministry, and if you ladies are interested, we call it Extreme Makeover Weekend for Women. Last year, we had over 175 women at NYSEM. The whole dining room was a sea of precious ladies. And we sending them out to battered women homeless shelters, and they're doing pedicures, manicures, facial, not a hand out, but a hand up, blessing these women in the name of Jesus. And guess what? People have gotten this spirit, and they've taken it down to Pittsburgh. They've taken it down to Richmond, Virginia. I was just preaching at this large church, about 2,000 people in this Assembly of God church. They flew me in on Friday night because they wanted me to be there early Saturday morning, because they took this whole principle and they're having a makeover day for hurting, broken women. They bust the women in. The whole gymnasium now became a boutique with clothing and massage chairs. And I said, where can I sit? They said, no, this is for the ladies. And so they bust the ladies in, and all the women were under a order of protection because of all the hurt and the abuse. And the children came with the mothers. They escorted the children in the children's wing. They had movies and popcorn and arts and crafts and ministering to the children. Now it's the church being engaged. And now the women begin to minister, and people got saved. It was totally off the chain. Women that would not normally be involved in ministry, they're painting, they're blessing. One woman was sitting there, and she was a little gruff, and the one woman in the church was just massaging, giving this woman a foot washing. And this woman was a little bit edgy. You know, when you've been beat up a little bit, you get a little bit edgy, amen? And so that washing is just continuing to defrost all the pain. And when she was all sudden done, wiped her feet and gave her some slippers to go to the next station, she says, you know, you're the first person that has ever touched my body without expecting anything in return. It is the body of Christ bringing healing and wholeness. And so by the end of the outreach, the little boy, this little blonde, blue-eyed boy, about 8, 9 years old, comes and he sees his mother. They got to get back on the bus. And he's just like, his eyes are bugged out, just begin to dilate. And he, Mommy, you look so beautiful. And he says, you know, Mommy, but you have to give the dress back. This dress belongs to the church. And one of the workers says, no, son, it's okay. This dress has been given to your mother. And he just begins to cry, and he says, this is the first dress my mother has ever had new in her entire life. Here is an 8, 9-year-old, 9 years, has never seen his mother get a new dress, and it's the church of Jesus Christ. Not a pimp, not a prostitute, not some person that's taken advantage of her, but it's the church. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to pray in just a moment that the word of the Lord is going to come like a beam of light, like a laser beam, because he wants to release. He said, Paul said to young Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within us. Listen, you have the gift. Not because I preach, it's not just because of people that are in public ministry. Every one of us, we've been branded by the Spirit of God. There's a call, there's a claim upon your life. And lastly, as God begins to work in the life of Peter. Kim, could you come to the piano right now? Thank you so much. The Bible tells us the nets break and Peter kneels and he says, oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm a sinful man. Forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me, God. And he says, from here on in, Peter, I'm going to do a work in your life. The third W I leave with you today. The Bible says when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. The third W is the way of God. I don't know about you. I'm in Bible school, and you know when they teach you and train you, and you have to have 3 closings and 4 illustrations and do this and do that, and somehow the Holy Ghost has got to come down. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, "What I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death and destruction." I could be here all day today sharing with you of the blessing of Almighty God as we have launched out and to let go, let God. I had a man from Manhattan come, and when we first bought the building in January of 1998, we opened it up in March just to house some students. We had some Campus Crusade students for Christ, and he comes with his Thompson Chain Bible, red letter edition, gold leaf, walking, and I mean the building was a dump. It had been abandoned for over 10 years. It was so abandoned that when we hit the elevator button, all the toilets flushed. I mean, we had mucho problemas. Pigeons were living up on the fourth floor. They didn't pay much rent, but they dropped a load, if you know what I mean. He came and looked at me. I was on the ladder with our guys. We're just doing whatever it takes. He came back a year later, and he comes to me, says, Brother Peter, I have to ask for your forgiveness. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, a year ago, I saw the building, and I saw you people, and he said this, intellectually speaking, and this pastor is a wonderful man of God, church of 2,000, writes books and so on. He says, intellectually speaking,
I thought you people were crazy. But now I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. I don't know about what you're holding on to. The Bible says they what? Forsook all. Let's begin to dream again. Let's begin to believe God again. Ask largely of the Lord. God is able to do what men say is impossible. God says nothing is impossible with God. Can I get an amen? Would you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. Just bow with me in prayer right now. Peter had a PhD in fishing. He had a degree. The man could do it in his sleep. In fact, my daughter Christina reminded me, don't forget to tell the people that when the Lord told Peter and the men to go fishing again, it was during the day. You don't fish during the day, you fish at night. That's the best time when there's fishing. You're crazy. You're doing what? You want us to go again during the day? I mean, at nighttime is the best time to fish. That's where they come to the surface. You want me to do it in the day? Lord, I'm gonna look stupid. I'm gonna look like I've lost it. Today, we have people that have been trained through our ministry. They've taken it back to Richmond, Virginia, Pittsburgh, Memphis, Tennessee, South Florida, Mexico City, Argentina. Pray for us, because Christina and I, along with two of our staff, have been invited and going to Nairobi, Kenya in a couple months in mid-May. And these brothers, pastors, leaders in a great movement in Nairobi are saying, will you come and help us to start a NISM in Nairobi, Kenya? How does that happen? Launch out. Say it with me. Launch out. Let go and let God. You're going to restaurants this afternoon. You're meeting people on Monday morning. The Lord says, could you go a little deeper? Peter, you've been a little shallow. I want you to take you deeper than you've ever been before. I'll be your sonar. I'll be your radar. I don't leave you or forsake you. Heard of a ministry that the father had started, a wonderful international ministry, and it was being turned over to the son. They began to look and analyze, and he said, I see that we're a mile wide but an inch deep. I want to believe God to go a mile deep and an inch wide. How about you, church? Maybe you just want to raise your hand with me and say, God, I want to launch out. I want to let go. I can only launch out if I'm willing to let go. And now I'm going to let you, God, do whatever you want to do in my life. Is that you today? You want to raise your hand with me? These altars are open. You have to go. We understand. I'll turn it over to Pastor here in just a moment. But if you raise your hand, you might want to come down to this altar. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of toiling. Lord, wash my life. I just want to forsake small living, small thinking, small dreaming. I just want to forsake all that stuff and say, God, you write the script. You use my life in a glorious way. God is able to do it. Father, use Acts Church. Use Pastor John and Kim and the leadership. And God, Everett needs an outpouring of the Spirit of God like never before. You're looking to us, Lord, to launch out, to let go, and let God. We believe you today. May God bless you.